This morning we're going to start a new mini series on the gold calf again. We are not even where we are supposed to be yet. So we still have, I'm sure, at the very least, another 10 weeks to go on this one. And this, the mini theme is errors that led to the making of the gold calf. I'm just going to introduce the subject this morning. Errors that led to the making of the gold calf. Let's read two quick scriptures and then we'll go to the sermon. Exodus 32, verse 1 to 6. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, "Oh, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him." And Aaron said unto them, "Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and your daughters, and bring them unto me." And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graven tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, "This be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." And they rose up early on the morrow, and offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink, and rose up to play. Put a finger there, let's go to Mark chapter 12. We want to just introduce this subject, this theme today. Mark chapter 12 from verse 18 right through to 27. Mark 12 from 18 to 27. Then come unto him, that is Jesus, the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection. And they asked him, saying, "Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die, and leave his wife behind him, and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife, and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were seven brethren, and the first took a wife, and dying left no seed. And the second took her, and died, neither left he any seed. And the third likewise, and the seventh had her, and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seventh had her wife." And Jesus answering said unto them, "Do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God?" Let's note verse 24. "Do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God?" We're coming there because we want to define error. What error is. Verse 25. "For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven, and as touching the dead, they rise. Have ye not read in the book of Moses, how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? He is not the God of the dead," hallelujah, "but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err." Brethren, I want you to beat your chest and say it like you know it. "I am serving the living God.
I am serving the God of the living.
I am serving the God of the living.
Not the God of the dead.
Therefore,
I am alive.
I have life.
And everything pertaining to me
has life."
Praise the name of the Lord.
The Sadducees asked the Lord a question. And they tried to give him a hypothetical situation to rubbish the notion of resurrection. That was the idea. He caught on to them and said to them, "Aren't you guys in error? Not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." And then he tells them, "Look, there is indeed resurrection. Your belief does not change the word of God. Your belief cannot change the plan and purpose of God. He said, therefore, you do greatly err. Their error was not just a minor one. It was a great error. Why was it a great error? Because if there is no resurrection, then we are doomed. It means we have believed a false doctrine. The Bible says, therefore, we are above all men most miserable. You look at the things that the devil attacks, and you can tell that they are fundamental to your being a Christian. The devil doesn't attack many other things, like you're having money. What is he going to attack? You're having money. If he's attacking you having money, it's to give you discouragement so that you can go away from God. Otherwise, the devil doesn't mind you having all the money as long as you are behaving like a fool. He doesn't mind. Go ahead and have all the money and behave like a fool, the better. An error is not a mistake. An error is a deviation from truth. A man errs when he has deviated from truth. If truth is where Christ is, and I begin to move as though I were going towards him, and suddenly I veer off, what have I done? I'm in error. Because this is what I should have done. I should have gone to him. But I've moved slightly away, and therefore in error. An error is a distortion of truth. For example, half-truth is an error. Because half-truth is not the full truth. If it is not truth, it is not truth. Therefore, an error is said to be a deception. An error is said to be a deception. An error is said to be deceit. An error is wandering away from truth. Wandering away from truth. The man goes round and round, goes round, goes everywhere except where truth is. That man is in error. Error is therefore falsehood or lies. Simply put, lies or falsehood. Error or to err is to lead astray. To lead astray, lead away from the main point. These are the things that the devil does. This is where you are going to the devil and say, why are you going there? Just branch a little bit. He creates a distraction to lead you astray. An error is leading into sin. Weaves it around, but eventually you land in sin. He said, I didn't know. The Bible says there's a way that sinneth right unto man, but the end thereof is where? Death and destruction. He didn't know. By the time he got to the end, where was he? Inside, it was too late for him. It will not be late for you in Jesus' name. Yes. There are three fundamental avenues by which people err. In thinking, through teaching, and by living. So your thinking can be error. The teaching you are receiving can be error. And the life you are living can be error. The moment your thought process veers off truth, you are in error. Because it's just a matter of time before you begin to teach what your thought is. So the first thing that the devil seeks to attack is your thought process. If he can sort you out in your thought process, he has you. That's why God said in Romans chapter 12 verse 2, Romans 12, 2. If be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you don't err. Says that way, you will know the will of God, which is good, which is acceptable to God, and is perfect. Was it the will of God for Jesus to die? Yes. It was a good will. It was acceptable to God. It was perfect. Was it the will of God for him to suffer? Yes, it was the will of God for him to suffer. If we didn't have a suffering Savior, then we didn't have a Savior. Because everything prophetically that has been spoken about our Savior was that he was going to suffer and that he was going to die. Therefore, when Peter began to say to him that you are not supposed to die, why are you speaking like this? Stop speaking such things. He said to him, get thee behind me, Satan, because you are in error. You savor the things of men, not the things of God.
Thus Timorus thought.
The things of God, but the things of men.
The man who loves the things of men and not the things of God is in error. By force, he has entered into error.
Tell me the kind of teaching that man will love. He's going to love a teaching that men love. He's going to hate the teaching that the children of God love. And the man who receives the teachings of error, how is his life going to be? He's going to live a life of error. To be walking away always from the truth. When it comes to the issue of marriage, for example, he will say, oh boy, shine your eyes. Don't pray. Just shine your eyes. One that is available, one that is easy, catch that one. He's a sister, the one who is, oh boy, you cannot wait this long and then come and be in poverty. They say when you go chop toad, make you chop the one wicked egg. So look for that sharp guy with the BMW. No, well, you don't know that you just got married to a tiger who is going to show you one or two things that tigers can do inside a cage with you. By the time you start going to pastor for help, you would have become a Yoruba person if you were not before. Because the tribal marks the tiger would have given to you through slaps and claws, you will know that you have married a tiger. And because you have married somebody whose heart is shut against God, when he says, when pastor says send for him, and you go and say, my pastor, if I give you another one, the next backhand I will give is going to land you on your pastor's pulpit while he's preaching. Because he has no fear of God. Living in error. Once your thought process is in error, you are going to like error teachings. And you're going to be living in error. So simply put, error is anything that contradicts truth, whether in thought, in word, or in deed. That's the basic. What are the reasons for error? When we look at Exodus 32, verse 1 to 6, we're going to systematically look at some errors that were committed. I can give you a brief. One error that those people had was they did not want a God that they cannot see. So it was convenient for them that Moses was not available because they wanted a God they can. What God is it that is speaking that we can't see? Pretty much like many of us today, many, many churches today. They cannot present a gospel that people cannot see. So you have to take a handkerchief to church. You have to have an anointing oil before you. You must take something. The Bible says, the moment the thing can be seen, it is no longer faith. Because faith deals with what? The invisible. The Bible says, it is the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for. Everything is about the unseen. The moment you have seen it, it seems to be faith. And so many of us, a lot of people are in error. Because they want to hold on to something. Then they said, the man that brought us up out. As far as they were concerned, it was a man that brought them out. When we look at our salvation, it is a half-truth. Because the Lord Jesus is a man, but he's also God. If a man brought you out, another man can put you back in. But if God brought you out, only one that is equal to God can take you back. And there's none that is equal to God. That's why the teaching of a man brought you out is error. And Aaron said they should break off their earrings, and that is a teaching of error. Many of us we hear it on radio, on TV. We even listen to some of them when we go on visits to other churches, where the message now is about giving to get in return. May I inform you, brothers and sisters, that we don't give to get in return. God is not a slot machine. We give because we love God. You don't have to give for God to give. You didn't give for God to give you in the first place. I'm sure you know that. But God wants to encourage you to give. That's why he gives back. And in any case, the Bible says nobody can outgive God. So So let's stop turning God into a slot machine. You look at your pocket, what do I have? Okay, let me give this one. Because I'm expecting something in return. And we quote the scriptures, the expectation of the righteous shall not be cut off. And then when the expectation has been cut off, because you are not righteous, because your thought is in error, then you say, oh boy, this is not the work. It's not the work here. They don't get anointed. Then you run to the place where they have the devil's anointing. Where for every naira you give, you get 10 from the devil. I guarantee you, there's nothing you get from the devil that is going to do you good. I guarantee you, no matter how much it is. Ultimately, it will harm you. What are the reasons for such errors? Why do men and women stray from the truth? We find the first two answers in the second scripture we read, Mark chapter 12, verse 24, where the Lord Jesus said, do you therefore err, not knowing the scriptures or the power of God? The first reason is ignorance of scriptures. Ignorance of scriptures. Ignorance of scriptures. Believers don't know the word of God. It's strange that a child will live in a house and not understand how they live in that house and claim to be a part of that house. You don't know what time lights out is. You don't know what your chores are supposed to be. You just know that when you come, you want food. You want this, you want that. You don't wash up. You don't do anything in that house. You are ignorant of the scriptures. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Proverbs 29 is 29, 18, I think it is. It says, where there is no revelation, the people do what? People cast off restraint. They perish. The people act wantonly. The people err. Where there's no revelation, you will err. Where you don't know the scriptures, you will err. Where you don't know the scriptures, you will be led into error by men who have been ordained to lead others into error. We're not just talking of a head knowledge of scriptures. We're talking of a revelation knowledge of scriptures. It does not come from merely reading the Bible. It comes from interacting with God. It comes from intimacy with God. When a man knows his wife, something is born. Something is conceived and is born. When a man knows God, something is conceived in him and is born. It's called a revelation. That revelation, because it's something that he knows, that he knows, that he knows, he knows, he knows, he knows it like nobody else. No matter how much my siblings may claim to know me, they don't know me more than my wife. Because of our intimacy. There are things about me that you don't know that she knows. Because we're intimate. You're not going to tell my wife something about me. And she will say that's true. It's impossible. If it's not true, she will say, you don't know my husband. That's what she's going to tell you. A man went to a conference. I think I've shared it here before, but best repetition. Went to a conference. And this guy was expounding on the fact that there is no God. After his exposition, they clapped for him. Were excited. And then he proudly announced that if there's anybody who has a question or comment to make, you should make it. This old black preacher stood up, grabbed an apple, looked at the man and crunched it. Took a second bite. They were looking. Took a third bite. Took a fourth bite. You stood up because everybody said yes. So what's your question? Ask it. How does this apple taste? The man said, I don't know. I didn't eat it. He said, exactly. You haven't tasted my Jesus. That's why you don't know him. Have you tasted of the Lord? Have you had a personal interaction with him? You cannot err. There is nothing anybody is going to say to you. You cannot err. They took another man to a seminar of somebody who said there is no God. He gave a beautiful exposition. At the end of the meeting, his friend who took him there turned to him and said, what do you think? He said he gave a beautiful exposition, but he's giving it 5 years late. I got born again 5 years ago. There's nothing this man is saying that is true. He may have said it beautifully, but I know God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here?
Do you know God?
Nobody can mislead you when you know your Father. You're in the house with your father or with your mother. You know them. Then one day, somebody takes you somewhere and says, "This is your father." What do you say to them? If I give you back hand, if I slap you, how can that be my father? But the Israelites were happy to call a calf their God. Why? They didn't know him. Aaron and the others may have seen him, but they didn't know him. So the first reason why people fall into error is ignorance of scriptures. What is the antidote? Who knows the antidote? Simple. Know the scriptures. Know the scriptures. Don't just read the Bible. Pray until God opens your eyes to what that scripture is. When God starts revealing and unraveling scriptures, he will unravel one verse and he'll be unraveling it for months, sometimes for years. He will unravel it a bit, take a break until you mature for another unraveling. There are some scriptures that I know today which 10 years ago I knew, but not the way I know it today. Because not only did I know the scriptures then, he had allowed me to experience them happen. There is nothing as good as when God has allowed you to experience things by revelation. When you look at the scriptures, you know what they really mean. When you hear about the suffering of Christ, and you have gone through a bit of suffering, only to brother, you will understand that God still loves you, whether you are suffering or not. You know that God does not hate you. You know, let me tell you something. The love of God, the love that God has for Jesus, is the same love he has for you. God is not like man. Men are the ones who have measures of love. A man loves his cat more than his wife. It's a misnomer, but it happens. A woman loves her dog more than her husband. Some children love their friends more than their parents. Do you understand? There is in degrees. But God does not love Chris more than he loves my wife. The same love he has for Chris is the same love he has for my wife. It is up to you, the recipient, to recognize that. So, if Chris is going up and I'm going down, the love of God has not changed. His path is not for my path. The most important is that both paths are in God. Second reason, lack of knowledge or interaction with the power of God. A lot of us say, we know the power of God. I have seen God do that. Has he done it in your life? Has the power of God interacted in your life and with your life? When you say, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, you are more than enough for me. Have you been in want that only God met? That's when that song makes sense. That's when it has meaning. We sing a lot of songs. It's good. Until they begin to make meaning. Tell me about Jehovah Jireh. I will tell you about him. Because that is my life. There are times when I don't have anything. But I know that God is still Jehovah Jireh. Before the end of the day, my provider provides. Some years ago, we were doing a study on Abraham. And as I began to study that name, Jehovah Jireh, I caught a fresh revelation of what it meant. Not just will God provide, but God will see to it. It's not just the provision, but God will always see to it anything that concerns me. It's liberating when you have interacted with the power of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, Paul writes, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. He says, it is the power of God that brings what? Salvation to those who believe. Not just a head believing, but an active participatory believing. When you want to recognize the gospel as the power of God, you don't want anything else. You don't want a motivational speech preached to you. You want the word of God, because that is where the power for your salvation is. Motivation pumps you up, and after it deflates you. You can jump up and run around the church that day. Man, that's someone now. Wow. Fire in my body. The next day you are knocked down. Pow. But when you recognize the gospel as the power, that's all you need. Because I tell you the truth, the Bible says about Joseph, he said, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tested him. The same word that said you will be something in life was the same word that made Joseph a slave, that sent Joseph to prison, that put Joseph through all of that. That same word tested Joseph. When the word of God, which you have received, begins to test you, what do you say? I'm not sure I heard God right. We have not yet interacted with the power of God. Those of you who came early, thank God we prayed that prayer in Ephesians 1, 15 to 20. There is a power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and set him at the right hand of God to sit down. That same power is available to you. In fact, it is in you. I've always told this story. Picture a man who has come from the village where they use lantern. Comes to the city. Just picture him. He's picked a good job as a manager. Building a house with generator. And then never takes lights. And what does he do? He brings his lantern. Isn't there something wrong with that man? There's a generator inside his hand. All they've shown him how to start. All he needs to do is do what? Zoom back out, and there's light. Can lantern iron clothes? No, let somebody answer. Can lantern freeze drinks? Can lantern show TV? Many of you are walking about with lantern, and there's a generator inside of you, and you don't know how to crank it when there's need for that light to come. Because we have not interacted with the power of God. We don't know the power of God that it is in us. It's time to stop speaking the language of the devil and start speaking the language of God. Who knows the language of God? The Bible says, God is he that calleth the things that be not as though they... That's the language of faith. They may look at you and say, you're a fool. You say, yes, I'm a fool for God. When I was a young believer, I struggled with faith. Until one day I went to God in prayer and the Lord said, what's your problem? I said, some of your instructions, they make me look foolish. God said to me, you be a fool for me, and I'll be a fool for you. It set me free. From that day on, when I hear the word of God, it's going to make me look like a fool. I will be excited and say, now this is it. Let me be a fool. What we are doing here today is one of such foolish things. You are like fools too. But the good news is you are fools for God if you understand it. And God will be a fool for you. And the Bible says the foolishness of God is what? Is wiser than... He didn't say it's wiser than the wisdom of men. He says it's wiser than men. Men in totality. The foolishness of God is wiser than all men put together. I prefer that foolishness. Don't you? But when we are ashamed of the power of God, is it not because we don't know that it is the power? Third reason why believers can be led into error. Their spiritual leaders lead them into error. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 16 says, for the leaders of these people cause them to err. And they that are led of them are destroyed. Go to Isaiah chapter 3 verse 12. Isaiah chapter 3 verse 12 says, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee, cause thee to err, and destroy the way of thy paths. How can a man open his eyes wide and go to a place where you'll be led into error? Jeremiah 23. Spiritual leaders are leading people into error. And people think that because it's a pastor, it's okay. No, sir. The Bible says, test all spirits, particularly those who are quick to say, I'm a pastor. Jeremiah 23, verse 12, 13, and 14. Wherefore, Their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. Because the man is foaming at the mouth and vibrating like that thing they use in breaking tar on the main road. You say he's a prophet of God. He's a man of God. That's not how to know a man of God. The Bible says if what he says does not come to pass, don't be afraid of him. The man who is always prophesying long, when you and I would have died and himself, and not when you are alive, don't always listen to that man. You should prophesy long, you should prophesy short. The man who is always seeing that people are running after you and they are your brothers and your sisters, every time there's a problem, that is his own cure. Your people are running after you. Come, let me ironize you against them. That man and the herbalist are in cahoot. The herbalist gives you a small calabash to tie under your car. He will give you an oil or handkerchief to tie, sometimes red for the blood. We are being led by men who are prophesying in Baal. They are friends of herbalists. Many of us have not left our background of fetishism. So it is okay for us where we are being led that way. We are used to going to places where they would tell us to take food to one junction and drop. So they would say, take some money and drop there. Usually you go, you drop the money there. There's no difference. The only thing is that one is more refined. The other one is crude. Sometimes it's better to have crude, but sometimes petrol is also good. It depends on what your vessel is. Verse 32 of Jeremiah 23. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies, and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit these people at all, saith the Lord. They are forever having one dream or the other. Let me tell you something, all of you who like to dream. Dreams can come from three forms. From the devil, from the mystery of your business, and from God. Dreams don't come, it's not every dream that is from God. Somebody said, I don't normally dream, but I had this dream. Usually they are trying to force it to fit into something. When you hear somebody say, he's forcing it to agree with something that he thought is going in my way. I had a dream once for a woman that she was to be my wife. I was excited. But guess what? As I matured, I understood what had happened. I had that dream Sunday night. That Sunday afternoon, after service, we went for a naming ceremony. A baby naming ceremony. Everywhere I sat, she sat. Everywhere she sat, I sat. It's like I'm sitting down here, we're sitting together, then I moved to that place, we're sitting there, I moved to that place, we're sitting there. Then I had a dream that evening. And that's my wife, who does not know that it is as a result of the multitude of business that dream came. Stop listening to people who are forever having dreams. And the Bible says, false dreams. And they tell them, they are forever telling their dreams. And by their dreams, they cause people to err by their lies. Do you know that the word of God, even as a dream, is not supposed to move you away from God? God said in Deuteronomy, I think Deuteronomy chapter 18, he said, if there is a prophet amongst you who is in error and you follow him, I have allowed him to be in error and you are following him to test you. So after the man has, if the man has taught you the word of God, and then he's now erring, what do? Detach. Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I follow Christ. If they are not following Christ, what do? Follow Christ. Which means you must know Christ. Number four, some people just don't want truth. They hate truth. You know, they say, like begets like. If you don't like truth, what are you likely to be in love with? Exactly. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 to 4. Paul was writing to Timothy, preach the word, Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. How I wish we did this thing.
There won't be room for error.
But you know what happened to many of us? After a while, we relaxed. Prosperity came.
And we said, no, the best sermon is what?
Prosperity. So every Sunday, it doesn't matter what we are preaching, we must twist it into prosperity. It must just end, somehow it must enter into prosperity. When we talk of being free from bondage, we will talk about money. That we are bound in poverty. So it's money. If we talk of healing, there's healing for your finances. Everything ties to money. Error. Verse 3. He says, for the time will come. Do these things because the time is, in fact, the time is now. We are inside it. When they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables or error. A lot of what we hear from our pulpits, fables, stories, tales. Tales by moonlight, that's what we are hearing in many churches. Stories. Stories of the tortoise and something else. Nothing about God. The moment all you are hearing are fables, that's all you are going to be believing. Fables. Fables will begin to seem interesting to you. And you'll get excited. And people say to me, but look, why are you talking like this? Now those people, look at them, all of them, they are okay. Let me tell you the truth. It's not every rich man that is born again. It's not every rich man that is going to heaven. It's not every rich man that is a Christian. And if rich people only are Christians, then Bill Gates is the Pope. Because he's the richest man in the world. Bill Gates must be a Pope. So let's all go to his church and worship there. Because he's wealthy. We forget that the Lord Jesus said, the poor you will always have with you. It is my lot to be poor. No, I don't want to be rich. Proverbs 30. A king prayed a simple prayer. He said, I'm asking you for two things before I die. He said, please, don't make me so poor that I will steal and spoil your name. And don't make me so rich that I'll become proud and not want to hear of you. Many of us don't know that prayer. In fact, if they knew it, nobody would read it. Let's go there. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs 30, verse 8. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Remove far from me error. That's how this man started. Remove error from me. And what do you have there? A colon. So what's it describing? Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. This is one of the most sensible prayers I've ever read in scriptures. Remove poverty from me so that I will steal. And then don't let me be so rich that I will forget you. Give me what I need to sort me out. I think it's a good prayer. And even if you don't agree, it's a good prayer. So let's stand to our feet for 1 minute and pray that prayer to God now. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, don't let me be so poor as to steal. Don't let me be so rich as to forget you. Let's go ahead and talk to the Lord. Grant unto me that which is convenient for me. Don't let me bring shame to your name. Don't let me bring disrepute to your name, either by stealing or by forgetting. Rather, let me have that which you have apportioned to me. That which is for me, give it to me. Let me not become so poor, I will forget, I will go and steal and bring your name to shame. Let me not become so rich that I will forget you. In Jesus' name we have prayed. So shall it be in Jesus' name. Let's be seated. Many of us don't want truth. That's why we are led to error. Somebody will hear this and say, what would they talk for that church? Why don't they go to that kind of church? How they would they pray that kind of prayer? Because that is sound scriptural prayer on finances. How can you have so much money that you forget God? How can you become so poor that your excuse for feeding is to steal? Forgetting that the Bible says that when a man steals to eat, he will repay how many times? 6 times. The thing that he stole. Now the man who is out of hunger stole, he still eats. Where he's going to repay, I don't know. Because he didn't have in the first place. But the Bible says he must repay. But what we are teaching today is building greedy men. We are becoming greedy, we are becoming callous. We are becoming cold and insensitive in our churches. And we are beginning to encourage people to steal and to engage in criminal activity because they are the ones who get prominent places in our churches. This man didn't have anything from anywhere. Suddenly he has money. You didn't even find out how did this money come about. He gives you one okay and Okafor story and you buy into it. And you are the one now sharing the testimony on his behalf. Because he wouldn't know how to lie the lie very well. So you, the man of God, are not helping him to tell the lie better. The man of God was praying for someone. The man brought some money to him. He got the money and said, let me pray for you. As he was praying, the Holy Spirit said to him, ask him where you got the money from. The man stopped his prayer and said, sir, God just said I should ask you, how did you get the money? He said, amen. I said, no. When God tells me to ask you, there's a reason. How did you get this money? I want to know. And, did an operation. They killed someone. That was the money. And they brought it to him. Thank God for that man. Take the thing and get away from here. How I wish there are true men of God like that. Who cannot be bought with money. But not so today. We don't want the truth. We hate the truth. We just want lies. And that's why the Bible says, the time has come. They will not endure sound doctrine. We need to be teaching sound doctrine in season and out of season. Fifth reason. The activity of false teachers. The activity of false teachers can lead us to error. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5 to 8. We're going to look at quite a number of scriptures here. 2 Timothy 3, 5 to 8. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. There are people who have the form of godliness. They look holy. They look righteous. They dress holy. They dress righteous. But inside are the bones of dead men. He says, from such, what do? Turn away. Turn away from such. For of this sort are they which creep. The Bible says they do what? They creep. They don't go in openly. They crawl under the door, through the window. They have various ways by which they gain access. Bible says, into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. They know how to identify such silly women. These prophets don't go anywhere but the homes of women, silly women, who you see them the way they dress in church. Their breasts are hanging out, their buttocks are showing. Everything about them is prostitution. The house of God. Pastor has seen his target. His next victim. Silly woman. Laden with her own losses. Then the man of God comes to you. Pastor. And then the pastor will start rubbing her body. Pastor, stand down. So we can give him a date. He's like, I can't get away with this stupid man of God. But because she's laden with sin and her own losses, finds expression with them.
It takes two to tango.
The criminal mind must meet with the criminal mind for them. Can two work together except they be agreed? If the man touched your back and you didn't give him a sound slap, you give him a slap, I will come and pray for you. If he says the anointing will touch, I say, come, bring that hand. Shake it, shake it, shake it. That hand is up. From now on, the next man you slap, he won't even be able to speak to curse you. Slap it very well. But no, these are silly women, they laugh. Verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They have diaries upon diaries upon diaries of notes. There's one for this man of God, there's one for the other man of God, there's one for a program, there's one for the other program, there's one for... They have them. They're always writing. Always writing. You are wondering, you think they are learning. They are never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Why? Because they hate truth. That's why they can't come to the knowledge of truth. Bible says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Who knows what is called, what is a reprobate person? Who is a reprobate person? What you call reprobate is a piece of metal that you're supposed to refine the metal, which makes it good, and then you use that. When you refine this metal and you test it, and it's good for nothing, you refine it again, and you can't use that metal has become reprobate because it can't do anything. No matter how much refining you refine it, it can't do anything. It is reprobate. So when you talk of a man being reprobate, it means that man, God, his sentence is there. God has tried everything to purify that man. He's unpurified. It's reprobate. These are the things that lead us to error. Activity of false teachers. I went to see someone the other day. There was a man of God there. And I began to wonder, does this man of God make house calls to all his parishioners or just the wealthy ones? Will this man of God go and sleep in a bar with a brother and have vigil with him? Or is it just that he's sleeping in the house that has generator with AC and self-contained toilets, where at the end of the prayer and fasting, by the time they put the feast on the table, even Herod would be envious. Where when he's leaving the house, the number of zeros on the check was well worth the sleepless nights in the house. You know that many of you don't live in mansions there. I don't know which man of God has come to sleep in your bath or your small room and say, let's have vigil together in that room. We are so brother. Let's change the prayer to generator. Let's begin to ask the Lord that he will give you generator. This heat is too much. Are you sure we can pray this prayer? You don't go to such places. You don't go to a place where you pay transport. Go to the place where they'll come and pick you. Abi? False teachers, their activities. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1 to 3. We are looking at the reasons for error, why people fall into error. But there were false prophets also among the people in the time past, that is, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. We need to break this one down. It describes these false teachers and their activities. They make merchandise. The Bible says, the Amplified says, they will stealthily introduce heretic doctrines. They will stealthily introduce it.
they won't do it openly. They'll just introduce it quietly. They will mix it with a little bit of truth and mostly lies. I've said one here, one that I've always listened to. I don't think it's on TV again because the ionization service has ended. Where it says God gave him the power to ionize people so they can travel for Christmas with iron inside of them to meet with every iron that is coming from the village. And then the Sunday after the ionization service, no, I think that Sunday is the Thanksgiving and ionization service, where he intends to raise ₦100 million for his auditorium project. I guarantee you that there is no ionization without a requisite contribution. Many people would go there like fools to be ionized by a man. Error. They will make merchandise of you. Quite frankly, there are many projects that we are engaging in that God did not ask us to engage in. They are for ourselves. They are just for us to do it for fame, for gain, and for glory. In the days of old, there were false prophets. Now there are false teachers. And then, false teachers give birth to false teachings. False teachings create false churches. False churches give birth to false religion. False religion give birth to false gods. And false gods, of course, give birth to false worship. And the people are excited. Like the children of Israel were excited. They rose up early to worship the gold calf. But God had to get Moses to run down to the from the mountain to wake them up early so that he could speak with them. Just imagine the number of people who wake up very early to go for Mass every Sunday, 5 a.m. And you, believers, you're leaving your house at 9:30 for church. They wake up at 5 a.m. to worship error. Sometimes you wonder whether we shouldn't just follow the false religion. Because somehow they seem to get everything. Let a false religion want to set up, build a church now. Everybody, they don't beg money. I was told that there's a church somewhere in Akwa Ibom. Church service. It's okay. Get ready, everybody, get ready. People who just want 5 people, who will give $1 million. They're rushing. They say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. First 5, well, the rest of you go back. People are biting their finger. Oh, I've missed. That is church service. They say, get 7 feet, 10. And the rest of you go back. Then after they've done it up to about 100,000 or 250,000, then it's okay. Those of you who want to give 20,000, stand on your feet. They'll stand at their seats. And then their own prayer is the one they will pray first. That wealth, you will get the job you are looking for. That's their prayer. But those who give 1 million, the man will pour saliva on them until the whole of their body is wet. And they must redeem it immediately, and they are writing the checks. But if we ask you here to write so that we can bring this bulletin, say, they're not start. Now for house, then they're not begin. When they go for church, what do they go do? The children of that world, in their generation, they are wiser than the children of the kingdom. Error. In John chapter 4, the Lord Jesus had to correct an error. Verses 20 to 24. The Samaritan woman said, "Our pastors tell us that it is on this Mount Gerizim that we should worship. Your own Pharisees say it is on Mount Jerusalem that we should worship. Which one is correct?" "I perceive that you're a prophet. Tell me. Let me know the kind of prophet you are." He said to her, "Woman, you don't know the God that we worship. The time is coming. In fact, the time has come when you will neither on this mountain nor on that mountain worship God. God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth." You don't need to come to a place to worship. When we come in corporate worship. That you worship God on your own in your house, in your car as you drive, in the bus, in your office, as you're doing your work. Your act of worship is not just singing a song of praise. No, your act of worship
is doing what God has asked you to do. When God says, preach to this brother, and you preach, you are worshiping God. Because worship is tied not only to just honoring and adoring God, but it's also about serving that God. I wonder how many of us truly worship God every day. How many of us truly speak to people about God? Those of us who are in customer service, when the customer comes, the first thing you want to do is to dispatch the customer quickly. Say, please, I have a headache. My brother, let me pray for you. Do you believe in prayers? Do you believe that Jesus can heal you? I say, look, I know what I'm talking about. Let me pray for you. Okay? I need a healing anyway. You pray for that person. Who is the healer? Not you. Your own is just praying. The prayer of faith. That's what the Bible says. Will heal the sick. And if he has sinned, his sin shall be forgiven. But what do we do? I forgot my anointing oil. Meaning what? That you can't pray for the sick without one poxy, olive oil, even granite oil. We use olive oil to fry in this house. We use to fry eggs. Maybe I should ask my wife to fry egg with olive oil so that people can eat anointed egg. And pay me. I will dangle the oil. I said, this is anointed butter. Pastor Grace, go and fry some eggs and bring them. And you must eat it. That day you are going to come with your checkbooks and empty your bank account. But that's how error starts. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. Galatians 3, 1 to 5. Paul asked the Galatians. He said, foolish Galatians. I read it from several times. How was Paul abusing this woman? If a pastor does that, nobody will come near his church. So let me use the scriptures to abuse you. Oh, foolish Galatians. Am I the one who said it? Am I the one who said it? It's the Bible that said it. If you fall into that category, you're a fool. Who has bewitched you? Who enticed you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How did you receive the Spirit? When you received the Spirit? Did you do anything to receive the Spirit? Or was it by faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Many of us started well. We got born again. And Jesus was all that mattered to us. But now, we have deviated from the truth. We have gone into error. Jesus is no longer enough. We no longer need a Jesus that we can't see. So we buy a cross and put it as pendant. We say it's a pendant, but that's a big lie. Our security is in that cross. We buy a Bible, not to read, to put under the pillow. When we are going to travel, I don't know the psalm they read. They open one psalm. They've not forgotten their libraries. They bring it in, say, it's serious protection. There's this program, Sanford and Son. He was traveling by air. And when they passed through the metal detector, and what is in this man? He began to bring out things, coins. Then finally he brought out the cross. The son looked and said, but Paul, you don't go to church. He said, well, when you're up there, you need God. You need the one with the cross up there, because that's where he's placed. There's another film that I watched. It was the Mummy. This guy had all kinds of things. When this mummy came after him, he brought out the cross and he began to recite some things. The mummy was still coming. No. I brought out something, he recited, the mummy was still coming. He brought out another thing, was then he brought out something, the Chinese time, Chao Ching, Chao Chun, whatever it was, the mummy was still coming. Then he brought out the Star of David and began to speak Hebrew. And the mummy said, oh, the language of slaves, they are going to be useful to me. The man fortified himself with all the amulets possible. Is the Bible one of such amulets in your arsenal? Maybe somewhere in your house you have the Quran. You have the, what's the book of those people? The something of light. What's that book? The Great Message. You have it there. What do you call it? Do you have it? Then you have the one for the Amok. They're there. They're just one of your arsenals, depending on which one is effective. And then under your bed is a dead bird with palm oil all over, stinking. And you, a full grown up educated man, you are lying in that room on that bed. And you switch on the AC, and the smell is sticking you. And they know how they know how to fool you. They say there must be no air freshener. So that you will really inhale. Since you want to be a fool, inhale it. How did you receive salvation? What is happening to us today? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain. He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? The Galatians had received Christ, and then the Jews went, some Judaizers went, and said, no, you must be circumcised, otherwise they are not saved. And the people who were saved, suddenly, embraced circumcision. There is nothing wrong in circumcision of a man. It's good, it's healthy, but it has nothing to do with salvation. By grace are you saved through faith, not of works, that any man should boast. But we have people boasting today they are born again, because it was by effort. They did something to be saved. And the Bible says, by strength shall no man prevail. If that's how you got born again, there's an opportunity for you to come and get born again today, by faith alone. How did we get born again? By faith. And then we suddenly turned and began to look for things. Amended handkerchief, olive oil, granite husk, checkbook. They give you letters. They write a letter to you. There's one in San Diego. He will send you a letter with a green, the colors of the handkerchief changes depending on what you're looking for, with a green handkerchief. And then inside the letter, he has written that you need to send some money. So you see, those of you who have written, I've sent you your letters, I'm sure you have received them, so we are waiting to receive something before they now send the handkerchief. They won't send the handkerchief until they have sent the money. What is that? It's called business. That's not the gospel. That's business. That's merchandise. In 2 Peter chapter 1, 3 to 11, you can go home and read that. You are saved by faith, not by works. But after you are saved, then you walk. Do you understand? Before salvation, you don't need to do anything. Just come, you are saved. After you are saved, you now work to maintain that salvation. And you are not doing work, this kind of foolish work. You are doing the work as part of the word of God. Growing in faith. Building on your faith. Moral excellence. Knowledge of God. Self-control. Patient endurance. Godliness. Brotherly kindness. And charity. And the Bible says, if you abound, if these things abound in you, if you grow in them and these things abound in you, you will not be unfruitful or unproductive in the knowledge of Christ. And that an effectual door will be opened unto you when you get to heaven. But no, we don't want that. We want to continue to commit sin and still say, I am saved. I'm sure you've heard the doctrine of once saved, always saved. That is a lie from the pits of hell. Once saved, always saved only works when you are following Christ. But if you say, I'm saved, and then you continue iniquity, sorry, you are not saved. You may have been saved, but you lost it. Finally, people do these things, people lead others to error because of gain and profit. This was the story of Balaam. Balaam ran because he wanted something. Error has one purpose. Or should I say, it has a set of purposes, all directed to one thing, to get you away from God. James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save the soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. I want somebody with another translation to please read for us. To read that, someone with a different translation.
You read
the NLT. James 5, 19 and 20. Who has another translation there?
Yeah?
Which translation is that, please? Living Bible, good. If anyone has slipped away, that's error.
And no longer trust,
he's no longer depending on. Do you see? Do you see the purpose of error? The purpose of error is to lure you away from God, that's number one. To make you to cease from depending on God. Continue, sir.
And someone helps him understand the truth again. That person who brings him back to God will say, we want to do so from God.
Error leads a man to death. The purpose of error, it starts by getting you away from God. And then magnifies it by getting you not to depend on God anymore. And finally, what do you have? Destruction. In John 10:10, what the Lord Jesus says, he says, the thief comes to do what? To steal. To kill. Once you are slipped away from God, he has stolen you. The moment you stop trusting God, you are dead. It is faith that makes us alive. And then comes the destruction. That's the purpose of error. Error seeks to destroy you as a believer. It starts by getting you away from where God can pull you back. Then when you are far away from God, he now tells you, stop looking back. Depend on these things. Depend on handkerchief. Depend on oil. After a while, you will depend on the man. When you now depend on the man, he will now dream all kinds of dreams, I tell you, and you will do it. You have been hypnotized. You have been ensnared. You are in a trap. You can't get out. And except God will show mercy, that fellow is dead. I mean, D-E-A-E, dead. That's why the Bible gives us admonitions. I want to look at these admonitions. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Is it in your Bible? But try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. For us today, it's not just false prophets. False teachers, false pastors, false churches, false religion, false gods, false celebrations, and so on and so forth. All over the world, test every spirit. Let's stop being lazy. It's time to start testing. Somebody says, I'm born again. A man approaches you, a sister, and says, sister, how now? Say, I've told the Lord though, that I'm only reserving myself for a believer. I'm a believer. Share your salvation experience. My auntie used to go to church when I was small. So they took me there. But I was baptized at age 6. Thank you very much. You have found a stark unbeliever. But no, we won't do that. Pastor is a believer. He believes God. Then you enter the house. He's smoking and you can't tell anybody. He's shaking brandy. You can't tell anybody. One day you come home drunk. And by the time he finishes with you, Mike Tyson, you would have preferred to be in the ring with Mike Tyson. Because even when you are down, he's not waiting for the referee's count. He will continue to punch you. Then you come with thick lips and a black eye. They say, what happened? I fell down from our staircase. Thank you. The staircase you have been living in for years, you fell down. And when you fell, it's your lips and your eyes that hit. You didn't break a limb. You didn't break a leg. His eyes and lips, swollen lips. That's what you use in landing on the ground. Test every spirit. Verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Anybody who tells you that Jesus Christ has not yet come, that man is in error. That's the spirit of error. Anybody who tells you that Jesus Christ is God and God alone, not man. That man is a teacher of error. Run away from him. Jesus Christ was 100% man, 100% God. You and I may not understand it, but that is what the truth is. Do you understand? The truth is not meant for understanding. The truth is to be believed. God did not ask you to understand the truth. He said, believe it. John wrote and said, well, I have written these few things. Like if I were to write everything, there won't be enough books to cover. But these few things I have written so that believe it, so that by reading it, you may believe. He didn't say by reading you may understand. He said by reading you may believe. After you have believed, you can seek understanding. But believe first. Verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that he should come. And even now already is it in the world. Some people come and say, I am the Christ. Who is that? A teacher of error. You have found error personified. Someone says, an angel spoke to me. And he begins to glorify angels. Who is that fellow? A teacher of error. You should be able to pick it instantly. There's one guy who came to Florida. And they said, oh, the Florida, it was all over the place. They were having tent meetings every day. Every day. They were there every day. Thousands. Newspapers were reporting. Some people say they're apostolic fathers. They were there on the altar with the guy, giving him, extending the right hand of fellowship. After 6 months, in fact, during his ministration, he talked about angels, that there's one particular angel that when that angel is around, the mission is that the fact that angel is around, and he's a woman. Do you see how people, and the devil is so foolish, he allows you that because you are more foolish than the devil, you don't pick it. The Lord Jesus said to those Pharisees, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. He says in heaven, they all are like angels. They don't marry or give. Which one is woman angel? In heaven, we are all sons of God. So where did he find a female? You can see where his heart is. Eventually, he discovered that he was sleeping with the secretary. That's why he was seeing a female angel. He's a secretary. 6 months after, he announced that he was divorcing his wife. The apostolic fathers were ashamed. And then he came to Nigeria in November to Redemption Camp and said, you come there and listen to those men who couldn't see when a boy was running them around his little finger. For 6 months every day, they were with him. They didn't see that he was sleeping with the secretary. I will come and listen to them, the apostolic fathers. Who gave them that title? Men living lives of error. But many of us like the crowd. Where the crowd is, they are there. It doesn't matter what they say. As long as everybody is there, it's okay. Verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you, that's the Spirit of God in you, than he that is in the world or in them. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. A teacher of error is a motivational speaker. He can go to any conference, and the Bible is just another textbook to him. He can speak on anything. There's one fellow who says that God has called him to preach on vision. I don't know how God will call you. That's the only thing God has called you to preach on, vision. That's a lie. That is what brings money to you. That's why you are preaching it. There's one fellow who was doing very well. Now you tune on the TV, the only thing you are hearing talk about is money. The Americans have created money for pastors. The economic meltdown. That's what they're preaching about now. How to survive the economic meltdown. And Isaac sowed in the land of famine. So you to sow, even though there's economic meltdown. And then you continue to live unrighteously. Just sow. No. You must live right. I want you to go and study that scripture very well. Genesis 26. When you study it, you discover something. That Isaac did not reap anything until after he had told the truth that Rebekah his wife and not his sister. Then the Bible says he sowed in that land. Open to it. Genesis 26, 12 and 13. And let somebody read it. Go to 11.
So Abimelech tried all the Jews, saying, he who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Then Isaac sowed in that land, and reaped
for
the same year
he wanted to go and the Lord. After he had told the truth, was when the sowing and the reaping came to pass, not before. You can't be living in a holy life and be telling me about sowing and reaping.
The Bible says, he that sows to the wind will of the wind reap what?
The whirlwind.
He that sows corruption will of corruption reap what?
Corruption.
The farmer who is evil can only sow evil seeds. The only thing he's going to reap are evil fruits. Simple as that. Verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. What are your favorite preachers? Who are the people you love to listen to? Are they preachers of error? Then the spirit of error is working in you. What makes you get excited when you are listening to someone? Is it error? You jump and say, I don't make them. Just say it 7 times. You are an M-U-G-U. Mugu. Of the highest order. I'm not in there for that church. Nah, lie. You have, the anointing you have is a lie. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. It says the anointing that is within us is what? It teaches us all things. It is truth. If indeed the spirit of God is in you, you will know truth. But if the spirit of error is in you, you will only know error. When I want to laugh and relax, I listen to preachers of error. But I shut my ear gates from assimilating. I only take it to the place of jokes and laughter. That's where it mustn't go beyond that. Because if you are not careful and you start listening to it, you begin to believe it. You say, okay, it seems to be making some sense. You don't know these people. They will mix truth with falsehood. They just mix everything together. Before you know what's happening, you have nonsense. I mean, can you imagine somebody giving you fried rice and mixing some poo-poo with the fried rice? Will you eat it? Will you eat it? A newborn baby's poo-poo. You won't eat it. It's a newborn baby. You won't eat it. But I hear newborn baby's poo-poo is good. You won't eat it. I hear it's nice when they fry it with the rice. You see, I'm becoming a teacher of error myself. That's how error starts. One of you will now pick that and say, my pastor said that a poo-poo of baby is good to fry rice. You can't fry rice with it. And because you believe, you say, boy, it's sweet, oh. Before you know what's happening, everybody is frying rice. They're looking for newborn babies. They're going to maternity home to look for newborn babies to do fried rice. That's how error starts. 2 Peter chapter 3. These are admonition against error. It's in the Bible. God has known that these things will happen. They happened then, they will happen now. Verse 17. He says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also be led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Beware. Be careful. Be alert. Be sensitive. Otherwise, you can. You remember the Lord said, in those days we're not shortened, even the very elect will be deceived. We are looking at big, there are errors that are so subtle. Christmas is one of such, and it has come, since it has come to stay. Christmas is one big error they sold to us, and we swallowed it big time. Now, you try to tell somebody that Christmas, that they will kill you. Let me ask you a question, who gains from Christmas? The people who are selling things. People who are selling chicken, selling eggs, selling carrots, selling clothes, selling rice. Those are people who gain from Christmas. Not you. After the 25th of December, the last day of the madness for shopping is 24th. That's when God help those of us who will be on the road on the 24th. We won't get home until then because everybody wants to buy something for Christmas or wants to travel and do this and do that. Then come the 30th or the 1st of January, everybody will come like this to the office. They have spent all their savings for 1 year because of one poxy day that God did not ask them to celebrate. So let me ask you, no, tell us this instead. Who's Christmas for? I wrote an article while I was in America. Who hijacked Christmas? Do you know who hijacked Christmas? Us. Because it's not our celebration. We hijacked it. It doesn't belong to us. We took it. I said, no, we must put Christ in front of it. Christmas, the Mass of Christ. Who are we celebrating Mass of Christ? We don't celebrate Pentecost. Do we celebrate Pentecost? I thought we should celebrate it. If you must look for a gold calf, look for a juicy one. Pentecost is a good gold calf. But we're never told to celebrate Pentecost. What are we told to celebrate? The death and resurrection of Christ. When should we celebrate it? At Easter. As oft. Pharaoh has gone round the world. I know some of you don't like it because you have invested heavily in Christmas. Some of you, the only way you take care of your children is at Christmas. That's when you remember them. You're supposed to remember them every day. There's a new one now entering the church. Mother's Day. Father's Day. If you don't remember me as a father any day except one day, you're not my child. If it's only one day in the year that you now come and gather and say, this is my father, you're not my child. You should remember a father every day. Galatians chapter 1, 6 to 8. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. I marvel. It's worth marveling after. That the gospel that saves, we have left it. We are now going to the gospel that prospers. Prosperity doesn't get you to heaven. Salvation does. We go after the gospel of healing. Healing doesn't get you to heaven. The Lord Jesus said what? He said, it is better for you to get into heaven maimed than for you to enter hell with two hands. Is it not in your Bible? Brothers and sisters, read the Bible and allow God to open your eyes so that you will not be misled into error. We're going to see as we begin to see how Israel entered into error. Eventually we will see God's judgment on that error. When God sweeps out, he really does a cleaning job completely. In verse 7, he said, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Verse 9, he repeats it. As we said before, this was burning in Paul. It's burning in the heart of the Spirit of God. So say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. If somebody wakes up and says, an angel said, cursed be the man that's relaying that message. Because you're trying to confuse the children of God. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news. Why is it the good news? It's the good news of salvation for man. Today, many of us, you know, it's just there, so we don't understand it. But the Gentiles of old recognize it as good news. In their days, you couldn't come to God unless you become a Jew. And even at that, you were not a full Jew. You had to go through some rites, the rites of circumcision, and this, and that, and even at that, there are some parts of the ceremony you can't partake. Then Paul and the apostles began to go around to these Gentiles and said to them, salvation is to all men. They said, please, what are the requirements? They said, come as you are. They were hilarious. The Jews were envious. Because suddenly, their rules and regulations could no longer keep these people down. Paul and the others were preaching a gospel that told them that as they are, they can come in, circumcised or not, brutes or not. Say, come, because God will touch you and change your heart. The Gentiles greeted the message in every city. Joy. The Jews became envious. So the Jews cooked up their own gospel and said, no! We are the ones who received this thing from the beginning. How can you be saved without circumcision? Abraham was circumcised. And Paul had to write to them and said, remember, the Bible says, God accounted Abraham's believing him for righteousness. When? In Genesis 15. When was Abraham told to circumcise? In Genesis 17. Abraham was already righteous by faith before circumcision came.
He says, so righteousness is all that you need. And it is imputed by God. It's full of shouting. But today, men don't like it. Because they sit down with the poor. They sit down with the old. They sit down with the weak. The people who have strength, they're looking. Say, ah, isn't there something I can do? I said to them, the first man to run to that junction and back will be saved. Everybody will move their shoes. Pushing yourselves on the road just to get here first. That's what people prefer. They wanted to walk for salvation. And God said, no. He said, salvation is for all. And it is free. That's the gospel. The gospel is that if you believe that you are a sinner, and that Jesus Christ has come and has paid for that sin, that's it. Of course, you expect him to repent. That's it. Not about salvation. Then you must learn to walk with God. That is where the work now comes in. But before that, no work. A young lady went about looking for salvation. She was searching. This was, I think, in the 16th or 17th century. She was searching for salvation everywhere. She knew she was a wretched sinner. She searched and said she couldn't find it. And one day she went to a church for an evening service. She just sat down there, lifeless. She didn't know what to do. And then this old man who was preaching, after preaching, caught sight of the girl, pointed to her and said, you can be saved. This minute, just now, come. Just as you are. That's the lady who wrote the stars. I am without one plea, but that thy blood. The people who wrote those hymns had an encounter with God. We don't write hymns. We don't know the meaning of hymns. Just let the thing be doing Batman Pokum. That is praise and worship. No, sir, that is noise. Praise and worship has meaning. Conclusion. Matthew chapter 4. Verse 1 to 11. The Lord Jesus showed us how to deal with error. Matthew chapter 4. From verse 1. Then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Who led him? Who? But did the Spirit of God tempt him? He merely led him to where he will be tempted. He didn't tempt him. So God does not tempt. And he led him there so that they can prove him. That's basically what it is. To say this is the quality we are looking for. In verse 2, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Then he answered and said, it is written. It is what? It is what? How did he know that it is written? But how did he truly know that it is written? Because it's written, yes. But why could he say it? Because he believed it. Not just, he didn't just read it. He believed it. That's why he could talk about it. That it is written. Many of us, like Chris was joking yesterday, said, if I fasted for 40 days, I'll just go to the mirror and say, you receive news. We will show them that, 40 days passing. Come. So that we have power. What is this? It is written. Man shall not live by bread. Man shall not live by anointing and pushing and rubbing the head until the man is bald. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. How do we live? We live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. What does that mean? That if the word of God is not being received by me, do I have life? No. I'm dead. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in thy hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Who is quoting scriptures there, please? and you think you know, you don't want to read the Bible, your enemy has read it.
Some of us will say it's true, man of God. The Bible actually says that God will give charge to his angel so that they will carry him to sojourn.
How many of you read the story of one fellow in UR, in Vassar of Ibadan? How many of you read it?
If you didn't read it, you read it.
Oh, you read it. I read it. He changed his name is Daniel.
So he climbed on top of the fence of the zoo and entered the lion's den.
Said it's Daniel. He didn't understand lions. When lions have seen food, they first give thanks. Lions are not like us. We just rush.
Lions just relax. Say, Father, I thank you. These people have been giving me good all these days. Alas, flesh before me.
By the time the lion got up and moved for him, and he tried to get back on it, was when they came for him, the body was in bits and pieces.
Many of us have been tempting God.
The devil says something, we just tempt God. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Stop tempting God. Somebody will say, I want to empty my account. Did God ask you to empty the account? And then when you are emptying the account, it's usually to a false prophet. It's not even for the work of God. It's to a false prophet that you go and empty the account. And then you now run into trouble. You now sit down and be mourning. Then God will ask you the question, did I ask you to empty your account? He said, but he said, who? I? He said, no, the man. Go to the man. By the time you get there, the man is nowhere to be found. He's moved on to another city to con somebody else. He's a con artist. You know what a con artist is? The full meaning. Confidence man. That's what it means actually. Con man is a confidence man. You know why? Because he has made you to believe him. You have confidence in him. That's why it's called a confidence man. He's a trickster, a con man, a con artist. You believe in him so much, you give him everything. He's a con man. Confidence. Verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Today, we serve anything. We serve anything. We just go to the devil and say to the devil, anything you want me to do, I just need an auditorium that will seat 50,000. So I give it to you. Then the auditorium is filled. 50,000 are sitting there. And you enjoy. The devil has given it to you. Then the day he comes and says, okay, it's time. Usually you're in your prayer. He said, how about? I said, no, is it? He said, but if you didn't tell me when, you didn't ask. You wanted the thing, I gave it to you. Story is told of a young boy, young man, who wanted money. So they initiated him into a cult. They gave him hands. So you go here, you get contract. You go there, you get contract. 30-year-old boy. He's making money left and right. Be careful, those who are making money. You don't know what they are into. Then one day they called him up and said, what? I said, you don't understand. This is part of the job. They gave him a gun. He went somewhere. One of their members, they went and shot him. He said, why not? His time is right. Okay. That boy was 35 years old. He came and carried him, brought him to a hospital. Who heard him shouting? People will kill me first now. I said, no, your own, they have to kill the heart while you are alive. While he was alive, they opened him up and took out his heart. 5. How many years did he enjoy it? 5 years. The rest of his life, so to who? The devil. Is that what you're looking for? Is that what you're looking for? That's all a lot of us see. Money. I wish I can get this money. I wish I can get this. I wish I can get this. Do you know what those people are paying for it? Do you know what they're paying for it? You see young girls jumping out. I'm going to Abuja. I have a contract. Do you know who they are sleeping with? They come, they get the contract, they come and share testimony in church. We're all, she's a prostitute. That's what she is. He has brought the money of Hodor into the house of God. And we are applauding her. That was a 25-year-old. What does she know that she's getting 400 million naira contracts? Does she have 10 heads? They have not. They sold their hearts to the devil. And you are following suit in error. Because our thoughts are no longer pure. Our ears are now beginning to itch for the kind of teaching that talks about money and prosperity. We hate the teaching of holiness. We hate the teaching that says depend on God. We love the teaching that says you can do it. You have the determination. You have the muscle. There's something in you that you can do. And we listen to people who talk, who use examples of worldly people who have made it. Because that's the new slang now. They made it. Someone was speaking to me the other day when I told him that, well, this is what we are doing now. He said, Pastor Susan, I want Pastor Susan, so left Susan, so church. And started his own church. He's doing okay. One other pastor Susan, so left this church. He's not doing too okay. As he was talking, I heard the Spirit of God say to me, what is the yardstick for the man doing okay and the man who's not doing okay? Attendance. The suit that the pastor is wearing, the car that he's driving, the fact that he has built one or two houses, that's the yardstick for success. If that's the yardstick for success, I don't want it. A man of God was sent by God to go to a city in the US from the UK to preach. This man went with money, built a big tent. People came for that tent meeting. And by the time this man had finished preaching his whole heart out, 1 6-year-old boy came out to receive the altar. There must be somebody else here. He preached and preached. Yeah, I was the only boy there. So I said, don't I pray for the boy, I let the boy go away. He prayed for the boy and the boy left. The man went back to the UK. Years after, was still regretting, why did I go to that place? Look at all the money we spent and this and this and that. He was now an old man. And one day as he was watching the TV, he saw Billy Graham. Millions! He said, this is what I'm talking about. People were coming out. And the host said to him, you see that man who is preaching? That's a 6-year-old boy who came out that day. Every soul that he has saved, that is saved through him, is also in your account. Success. I tell you about success. The Savior that we are following, let me tell you about his success story. He started ministry at the age of 30. By 33, he was dead. He had 12 trusted men. One of them betrayed him. The other one denied him. Another one denied him. The other 10, they were nowhere to be found. He died alone on a cross. Nailed to the cross. A crown on his head. 40 whips on his back. A massive mess of blood hung on a cross and died the death of a criminal. By our standards, the biggest failure there ever was Jesus. 3 days later, even they thought that was the bus stop. They thought that was the destination. No way. It was part of the journey. 3 days later, he rose again to give mankind, you and I, the hope of eternal salvation. Of the 12, one was lost. The one who denied was brought back. The other 10, they gathered themselves together into an upper room. By that time, they had increased again in number to 120. As they obeyed this their suffering, murdered leader who rose again in prayer and study in an upper room. I don't know how big the upper room was, but it was a nondescript place. Suddenly one day, the Spirit of God came. And what happened? They began to speak in tongues. And like now, we are speaking in tongues, and people come and say, that's a Igbo man. I'm hearing him speak, and I was like, is that not Onosu? Onosu is speaking French. Where did he learn? That's great. Grace is speaking flawless German.
They were all gathered there. And said, this is the wonderful work of God.
And then Peter rose up
and began to preach.
And by the time he finished speaking, actually, you know, it wasn't a prepared message. He just spoke freely. By the time I finished that sermon, how many people came to Christ?
3,000. You better believe those 3,000 were from all over the world.
What had happened? God has not expected the gospel from one spot called Jerusalem. You and I don't know why we are here today, but God knows. You and I don't know why we are listening to the message we are listening to, but God knows. I want you to search your hearts. Have you begun to believe Him? Are you becoming weary of the Word of God? And are beginning to succumb to error? Have you reached the place in your walk with Christ where it seems like you made a big mistake? And those who don't even know anything about God are making it in quotes. Is that where you are at now? Have you followed confident men? Have you begun to believe con men who claim to be preaching and teaching truth, but really they are teaching error? It makes sense, but it is not from God. Because most of what God does doesn't make sense. How can it make sense for God's Son to die? It didn't make sense to Peter, but that was truth. Are you beginning to follow the teachings of prosperity alone and forgetting about holy living? Or are you one of those who are now saying, when I make it, I will begin to live right, forgetting that it is living right first? Every other thing follows that word. And whether you make it or not according to the world standards, make sure you make it according to God's standard. That is what matters the most. Galatians, start in the spirit, and now you are carnal. You began with faith, but now you must have something to hold on to, otherwise you can't believe God. Have you been lured away from God? And you have been brought to the place where you have been told no longer to depend on God, but to depend on yourself. To depend on those who can help you, but not God. To depend on a church program, but not God. To depend on a man of God, but not God. To depend on anointing oil and anointed handkerchief, but not God. Is that where you are at now? Are you now in the give and it shall be given? Good measure, shaking together and running over. Regardless of how you live your life, are you one of those who like to hear, you are blessed, you are blessed, you are blessed, even when you are living in sin? Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time of salvation. Today I want to give you an opportunity. It's true that you may be born again, but quite frankly, you are backslidden and you know it. You don't need me to preach that to you. I want to pray for you. Lift up your right hand wherever you are. I see the right hand and I pray with you. I want to come back to God today. You have been living in error. You have gone away astray from God. But today you want to come back. Just raise up your right hand above your head.
I'll see it. I'll pray with you. Do that very quickly before we pray. Because there's some praying that we need to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Brother, let's start to our feet. There are three things we want to pray about. They are very important. The first one is perhaps the most vital. You say, Father, help me to begin to think right. I need right thinking. Every thought of error removed from my life. Let there be right thinking. Even as I study your word, even as I look into the law, perfect law of liberty, even as I pray, even as I speak to you, let my thinking be right. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. Because there are people who are praying and their thinking is wrong. There are people who are studying the word and their thinking is wrong. They are still in error, even though they pray. Talk to God like you. Talk to the Lord this morning. Every thinking of error, remove from my life, Heavenly Father. As I read your word, as I pray to you, let right thoughts come into my life. Sanctify thoughts, scriptural thoughts, thoughts from heaven. Let them come into my life. Ask the Lord to give you an ear to be able to discern between right teaching and wrong teaching. Talk to Him. No matter how shrouded that teaching is, if it is wrong, tell us the Lord to show you by revelation so that you are not misled, so you are not led astray. Because like the Bible says, false teachers have been released into the world. They have gone the way of Baal for reward, for gain. Their God is their belly, and their destruction is certain. And they are serving their master, the devil. Ask the Lord to help you to be able to discern between right and wrong teaching. And ask the Lord to open you up to live right before Him. To live right before Him. No matter the temptation, ask Him to help you. The Lord asks us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Talk to the Lord. Father, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. Deliver me, Lord, from negative living, negative lifestyle. From worldly lifestyle, but a lifestyle, bring the lifestyle that glorifies you into my heart. Ask the Lord to open you up, to open your heart, so that you can receive truth. Indeed, ask Him to make you a receptacle of truth, to give you a spiritual seed that knows how to throw away, to reject falsehood, and to accept truth. Brethren, talk to the Lord, talk to the Lord. Whatever it is that you are involved in,
It is truth that brings deliverance. It is truth that saves.
Jesus can make me what He wants me to be.
Not what my
my Jesus, someday I've got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, because I want to see my Jesus someday. I've got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, because I want to see my Jesus someday. I've got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, because I want to see my Jesus someday. Goodbye world, I'm staying no longer with you. Goodbye pleasures of sin, I'm staying no longer with you. I've made up my mind to go God's way for the rest of my life. I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. Goodbye world, pleasures of sin, I'm staying no longer with you. I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life.
Let's pick our Bibles up. Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14. We need to pray this prayer, brethren, because I guarantee you, it's not an easy road. Matthew 7, 13 to 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. My brothers, my sisters, we have not come to be entertained. In many of our churches, there are people on the wide road. It's so wide, you can accept the word of God, you can accept philosophies. He can accept a second wife. He can accept a third wife. He can accept children by any means, even from a harvest. That's the wide road. It will accept anointing oil. It will take power. It will take anything. There are many on that road. But we must enter by the straight gates. The Bible says it's so narrow. There's only room for the word of God. That's all it can take. He cannot take anything else. He can't take anointed handkerchief. He can't take anointed oil. He can only take faith in the word of God. There are very few that can find it. You need to search for that road. It's not easy to see it, because God has kept it away from the unserious and has reserved it for the serious. I want you to pray. Say, Father. Father, help me to find that narrow road, and help me to walk therein, so that I might enter by the straight gates. Talk to God, brethren. Help me to find that narrow road. I need to find it, Lord. I need to find it. I need to find it. Lead me there. Lead me there, Lord. Lead me there. Let me find it, Almighty God, so that I can end up at the narrow gates. Goodbye, world. Stay no longer with you. Goodbye, pleasures of sin. Stay no longer with you. I've made up my mind to go God's way for the rest of my life. I've made up my mind to go God's way for the rest of my life. Goodbye, world. I'll stay no longer with you. Goodbye.
by pleasures of sin. Stay no longer with you. I've made up my mind to go God's way for the rest of my life. I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. I've made up my mind to go God's way for the rest of my life. I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. I've made up my mind to go God's way for the rest of my life. Show me that road. I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. I have made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. I have made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. I have made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. I have made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life.
Oh Lord, help us to find it. Oh, the road is so narrow. The road is so narrow. Holy Spirit, help us. Help us. Help us. Let's not go astray. Let's not go astray. The offerings are tempting. They are tempting, Lord. They are tempting, Lord. They are tempting, Lord. They are very real. Very real and very tempting. Help us, help us, help us to be children of values, God's own values. Help us not to be misled by the errors that we are hearing popping out from the pits of hell. Help us. We have made up our minds to go God's way the rest of our lives. We have made up our minds to go God's way the rest of our lives. We have made up our minds to go God's way the rest of our lives. We have made up our minds to go God's way the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Almighty and everlasting Father, many of us are carrying bags and baggages. King of kings and Lord of lords. And you know that for us to be on that narrow road, those bags must go. Bags of cares of this life. Bags of pride of life. Bags of concerns. Bags of what we shall eat and what we shall wear. Bags of what will they say about me? Bags, Almighty and everlasting God, of wanting to please people who don't even care about us. Father, help 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 us to drop these things. We can't on our own. We need your help. We can't do it by ourselves. Who are we but flesh who desire the things of the flesh? But Lord, by your Spirit you will help us. By your Spirit you will strengthen us in the inner man to resist the devil steadfastly.
Amen.
This morning, Lord, I make a personal covenant with you to walk that narrow path. It's not one I can keep. It's one that you will have to help me to keep. But Lord, I make that covenant today. I've made up my mind to walk the narrow path. Father, keep me and your children far away.
away from error.
Amen.
Help us to discern and decipher error when it comes. I pray, Almighty and Everlasting God, that you will put in us that mechanism of holiness that detects anything that is not holy. That you will put in us the love for righteousness and the hatred for iniquity. Help us, Almighty and Everlasting God, to walk as you walked on earth, such that you could say that the prince of this world cometh and findeth nothing in me. May he not find anything of his in us.